Are you slathered in the sunscreen of denial? We can help.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for April 2nd, 2018. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stanton.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. God, April 2nd already?
I know. It seems like the year just started, but...
Yeah, okay. Someone was actually laughing at me. Now, I thought you're the one who told me this, that things seem to go faster as you get older because it's a, let's say, a day, a week, or a year is a smaller percentage of your life when you're old than when you're young.
Right.
And I was on a radio show and they were making fun of me for...
I read that somewhere.
Okay.
So
well,
if I read it somewhere, it has to be true.
And speaking of truth, beautiful, beautiful segue. This week's Prickly City was dedicated to... Carmen was going to reveal the truth, reveal the big lies.
Whatever that is.
Whatever that is. And I think I'm going to write about just what is truth, because as we were walking in to do the podcast today, Janine, because I'm going, oh, and Janine's going, what's wrong this time? Although I'm sure it was much more sympathetic than that. But
I'm sure it was.
But everyone has their own truths. I grew up in a news business. I've mentioned this a number of times before, but my father was general manager of TV stations around the country, and they had the equal time provision. Do you remember that?
Yeah, someone would have to come give the opposing viewpoint.
It was almost exactly that. Let's say that during a campaign you covered the mayor's opponent gave a rally, and you did a 30-second, one-minute story on that. You were obliged to do a one-minute story then on the mayor's race. You had to have that balance. You were never allowed outside of something that was clearly defined as commentary to weight your coverage one way or the other. Well, that went away, and what we got was Fox News, MSNBC, and I'm just so fearful that we will never have the kind of news coverage we had in the past. Maybe I was kidding myself. You know what? Maybe I was just naive like everybody else and figured that reporters and news organizations really tried to not weigh their news coverage one way or the other. And I can tell you, coming up in the news business, every single reporter I've ever worked with never reported to skew the story. They always were passionate about getting it right.
Right.
And there were layers and layers of editors and other devices to make sure that they did. And I can tell you numerous times reporters having grumbling, walking back to their desks because the editor said, you don't have the story. So where does that leave us today? Well, we've eviscerated the news business. There are no copy editors. There are very few editors left. There are very few reporters left, quite frankly. And what is the truth now? The truth is what you want to believe. We have a friend who posts things online, and we've pointed out that these are wrong. And they will say, well, but it feels true.
Right. And also, I recall this last time this person posts something, we were pointed out, this is not true. And it's like, well, I still like what it says. I like the viewpoint. It's like, but you're basing your viewpoint on a lie.
Exactly.
If this didn't happen and the things leading up to it didn't happen, what you're saying you agree with isn't even true. It's not even a story.
Right. And so, you know, where do we go from here? So I did a whole week on that. And I really do love this. They just go off on, I know we have some metaphors they want to add to this, but I just love the third day on this thing when they just go off on this metaphorical tangent. And Winslow asks Carmen, well, what if they're slathered in the sunscreen of denial? And she says, then I'll be the cleansing shower of veracity.
And Mr. Blott added, then we'll all have the sunburn of authenticity, which leads to the melanoma of fact.
I love that. Why didn't I come up with that? Where was he when I wrote this? That's
probably
terrific. I obviously my other job is political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and metaphor is a big part of what I do. My kids make fun of, and I apparently get posted occasionally to a board they listen to, or view rather, and which is editorial cartoons, and anything with a big thing with the word debt written on it is always ridiculed, and I'm guilty of that. But so I like metaphor, but I just thought that was a terrific string of words once in a while. I'm just trying. You know what? No, did anyone react to the fat-free cottage cheese? You're the kind of person who bring fat-free cottage cheese to a potluck.
It wasn't a big deal. One person just said that fat-free cottage cheese isn't cheese if it's fat-free anyway.
Well, so there we go. See, no more fake facts here at Prickly City. And if you're really relying on a comic strip for your facts, folks, wow. You have bigger problems than me saying that cottage cheese isn't cheese.
So Love and Clay says, we live in a world where people simply don't want the truth. Facts and data have no place in the ideological lives they've created for themselves. People react very negatively, as Carmen is finding out.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's before you even get your point of view out, you're being screamed at.
Is one thing almost everybody agreed with.
Common ground! Woohoo!
Yeah, because Jay Gray said,
yes,
Carmen, getting along may be a bit much. I would settle for being able to state my opinion in public without the tolerant left screaming that I'm a racist, homophobe, Russian backer, usually before I even finish my statement. The nice thing about these forums is I can at least type my entire comment without it being interrupted before those with differing viewpoints ignore what I said and start the personal attacks. Of course, this comment goes to both sides, to which Wire Puncher said, and it would be nice to state semi-liberal views and not be called a gun-grabbing communist. There are all kinds of different views that don't go to the extremes.
Well, and there are also people who can share, actually have intelligence, the ability to siphon off ideas and ideals that they agree with and then shed the ones they don't. So you can have, I mean, when was the last time you ever saw a pro-gun control Republican? Or an anti-abortion Democrat? Those people are almost gone when, in fact, most people can't subscribe 100% to any kind of agenda because it's ridiculous. It's not thoughtful.
Well, you think of the gray areas instead of always black and white.
Well, you think, I mean, are there halfway issues on things like gun control? Are there halfway issues on things like abortion? And then, you know, you could argue that they're not, but at least give me the argument and let me try to put forward the argument that perhaps there is.
I think most people think there are, especially right now. I've noticed on the gun control is that most people think there's sort of a middle. They're not saying let's take away all guns, and they're not saying, you know, put such super restrictions, but they are saying some restrictions.
Slippery slope, honey, slippery slope.
That's what one side is, and then there's another side that's like, no, we can't have any. We need to take them all away.
Yeah, And, you know, it's the slippery slope. And I used to actually agree with that kind of, you know, well, this is just going to lead to, A, will lead to B, C, and naturally lead to B, C, and D. And that's hogwash. You know what? That's just not how things work. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. If you're aware and cognizant of it, then you just say, okay, we're going to do A. And included in that legislation is going to be, a governor that's not going to let B, C, and D happen. Or at least not until there's, in extreme circumstances or extraordinary circumstances. So, do we have any other comments you want to get to? I'll let you read.
Let's see.
Bookworm
says that civil dialogue has two components. Dialogue assumes that both sides will give a fair hearing to the other. What we have today is more ideological monologues, eschewing any disagreement or rebuttal. As Americans, we could and should disagree with one another, but as a familiar yet apparently lost aphorism used to say, I may disagree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it.
Voltaire, one of my favorites. We have that carved in the lobby of the, at the moment, Tribune Tower. So, yes. No, we can discuss and debate and so on, but what I hate? Okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent. Can I go on a tangent, Janine?
Tangent away.
Okay, I'm going to tangent. And it's not just Fox, because they also, the talking heads on MSNBC do the exact same thing. That's to set up the straw man or straw woman. I'm not going to judge. And then debate when someone's not actually with them. You know, they can say, you know, you have Sean Hannity. Well, the liberals believe that you should have, you know, multiple sex partners before you're 11. Well, I say no. Or by turns, you have, on MSNBC, you can have Maddow going, you know, I think that, you know, Republicans want to sew up every woman's private so they'll never have sex ever again. Well, I say no. And it's just like, it's ridiculous. That's not a
Those
debate.
Aren't real conversations.
No, it's not. Yeah. The fact that there's one person involved means there's not a conversation unless, well, they may be hearing voices in their heads. I'm totally willing to accept that. So here's, I mean, and I get into trouble myself because the strip, I think, kind of, Prickly City, it kind of bounces back and forth. And I think both sides have legitimate reasons to believe the things they believe. Some are ridiculous. Make fun of that all the time. But some of them are legitimate, and some of them are at least worth consideration. You can dismiss them, but not until you've considered them. And that's, you know, and that's where we're not. And so we really are sort of an island of sanity in a great ocean of stupid. That's it. You can
talk.
That's it. Oh. They can't hear you nod your head. Oh. So, anything else we need to get to?
Well, P. Kim Cat says, if only we would shut our mouths and open our minds long enough to try to understand opposing ideas. That does not mean we have to accept those ideas as our own, but we need compassion to accept the holders of opposing ideas as our own.
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, I read, I go to Daily Kos. I also, when I stumble across it, I'll read, I have this, some, I have no idea where this came from, but it's like a bunch of communist readers. It's Mao and Lenin and all those guys. And you pick it up and you thumb through it and you go, well, that's really, God, that's stupid. And then you put it aside, but you at least read it. You're conversing with it. You know that those ideas are there. Marx, his, you know, he's a great diagnostician of the problem, but his solution, his cure is terrible and unworkable. The fact that I know that is a good thing. The fact that you should know that is a good thing.
Well, sometimes what other people's opposing views, what you really need to know is where they came up with them and why. Usually it's some sort of life experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may not be what you view as correct, but at least you understand where they're coming from and where they got these ideas. And then you can work from there.
Right. And I think that that's where things like bigotry come from. They come from ignorance. They come from, you know, some kind of story we had or things that they heard when they were growing up, which simply aren't true. But you can challenge those, and you can challenge them in a way that's not, well, that's because you're a racist dumbass. Well, or Dumas,
well, that doesn't
French.
Win people over.
No, no.
To call them names. And they get more defensive and hang on to that viewpoint harder.
Yeah. Or exactly. If you feel besieged because of the way you view things, then you're not, you know, that's not a mind that you can change. So, I don't know.
But we do have to remember that people can change their minds, that you should not be held accountable because you thought something maybe 20 years ago if you no longer believe it. Because we can change things.
Yes. Well, I totally changed my mind on, I'm trying to think. I'm sure something.
Breakfast.
Sure. Hey, by the way, before we sign off, I do want to segue into something here. The Seattle Times has dropped Prickly City from its print edition. And if you're listening to this and you are in the Seattle area, gosh, either give them a call or better yet, shoot them an email and let them know that you'd like it back in print. That's how we make money. That's how we can keep doing the Prickly City podcast. That's how I can keep doing the comic strip. So, yeah, do me a big fat favor, even if you don't live in the area. Say you just look up the – I wish I had that here. We could post it to the you know what we can do? We can look it up and we can send it to Brian, our wonderful producer, okay. And he can put it in, you know, put it in the description here at WGN Plus. Okay. That's it. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Yes, words. Use your words. They work. Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you, Brian Altimer, our wonderful producer. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for allowing us to use their studio time. And thank you, most of all, for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to by going to gocomics.com/Prickly City. And go ahead and register. It's free. They don't annoy you with stuff. You could sign up for a letter, and you can actually pick the comic strips that are sent to you every morning, which is what I do, which is kind of awesome. And then you can click the like, and that gives me, you know, money. Again, I'm back to the money. I'm just crazy. It's like the 80s all over again. I was like Gordon Gekko. What's wrong with me? Oh, wait, I pay my rent with money. So, yeah, go ahead and go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. And if you want to leave a comment, do so. We might read it here on the podcast. Or you can contact us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. And until next week, we'll see you in the funny papers.